Hey, greetings, Sister Deb from DoorParish.com. Hopefully you're having a good day in the Lord. We are, praise God. Doing some online ministry and getting ready for an event tomorrow and the next day. Lord willing, we'll see. And we'll see what happens with that. We make plans, don't we? But we say, the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we will live to do this or that. And then He will guide our steps each day as we go. But we do have to, you know, be doing something in order for Him to guide us. You know, if we're just sitting around doing nothing, how can He guide us other than, you know, to get up and get going? And that's what we should be doing already. If we love Him, we're working for Him. We've all got ministries set before us that we're to do every day. And so, anyway, this is part of mine, is reaching out and encouraging you all out there. And every once in a while, I go through the sister's blog that I used to write on and kind of transfer some of the info over onto DontParish.com. So I found a letter that I wrote to a young believer quite a while ago. Some sisters and I were helping her. She was pretty young at that time. And we were helping encourage her and teaching her how to be a godly young woman and all the aspects and characteristics of that. And just like any other believer at that time, she had a lot of things to overcome. And so I wanted to help her with the power of the word. You know, a lot of times people, I'm not saying saints always do this, but people have more emotional and comfort support than using the word of God to maybe slice away at the flesh to get down to the spirit with the strength and kind of like not rebuking or anything, but I don't know, I guess like Brother James says, the hard ground plowing, you know, you can be soft, loving, gentle, and kind, but yet while you're doing that, the love part of it is using the word of God to help open people up and strengthen them, meaning sharing the Psalms about love and comfort and how God's there for us. Those are awesome. But in the balance of it, we also have to look at the other side that adds the power and the strength, you know, the part that says, get up and get going, that part. And so that's part of this letter that I wanted to read, and I think it will be strengthening and encouraging to all of us. So I'm just going to kind of go through and read this part that I picked out. So let's see, I started here. Can I help you in something when it comes to being in the world as a godly woman? Ponder these verses and let the Lord work on giving you strength to be trained up to shine your light into the dark world, thereby glorifying our Father in heaven. Jesus didn't just pray to take His people out of the world. John 17:13-21. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And then I said, so we talked about how He didn't take us out of the world, but Jesus sent us into it. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I'm going to kind of talk in between some of these here that aren't in the letter. These are just the scripture verses that I sent to her. You know, so a lot of people, when they come to the Lord, they think, well, maybe God's going to, I just want to get out of here. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through everything I do. Maybe He'll take me out of it. Maybe I should hide in my house and stay away from all the sin and keep myself pure, and I don't want to have to go in there and have to deal with any of that. But we see in Matthew 10, Jesus sends us into it because there's work to be done. If we hide in our house and hide away from everybody, Are we not hiding our light too? And I'm not telling women go out and stand on the corner and be preachers and stuff. What I'm saying is, don't be shutting off and trying to hide from the world. What we want to do is make sure we get ourselves doctrinally strong and strengthened, and then go out there to be that shining light, like that lighthouse standing in there with all the waves beating on it, and it's shining that light so the ships don't crash up against the harbor. We're shining the light of Christ everywhere we go. And so then I go on it and I say, why? Meaning, why would he send us out there? And kind of like what we were just talking about. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're to be in the world shining our light so everybody can see the good works that the Father has done within us and that he can do within them. And then I explained to her that we know we're going to have trials, but John 16:33 helps us through that. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, so right there he's like, yep, you're going to have a lot of troubles in the world, but I've overcome it. You know, it's kind of like, what's your problem? Let's get going. I've overcome it. Yeah, I know you're going to have problems, just like he did. Troubles, tribulations. So it's like, yeah, so then as we're out in the world doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to be persecuted. And if we're persecuted, sisters, what do? We rejoice. Matthew 5:10-13. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, or for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So this is an awesome verse to teach us, you know, when you're persecuted, don't be hiding. Rejoice in it because you're counted worthy for the cause of Christ, for his name's sake. It means what you're doing is you're following after our Savior, doing what he tells you to do. You're persecuted for him, and that brings him honor and glory. So we don't fall down when we're persecuted. This should make us stand stronger, just like Paul said, you know, people are emboldened when he was in his chains. And so we're supposed to keep pressing on. And I gave Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's kind of like a rebuke and encouragement and admonishment for us not to be weary. And if our flesh does get that way, we need to read these kind of scripture verses to get us up and get going, right? And then I said this, I'll read it. It's good for us to remember that we're here to be a light, and although our flesh would like to leave the world, we have work to do here where the Father called us, and that means living in among those in sin. In fact, we're better to be by those of the world than those who claim Christ and live in sin. And I gave 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. And so I'll say here to us all, what that means is when somebody calls himself a brother or sister in Christ and they go into sin, willful sin, and they won't repent, we're supposed to separate from them. And Paul talks about how we're supposed to judge those within the body, not those on the outside. So why would it be better for us to be more involved with the people of the world than those who claim Christ? Well, because they're in sin and they won't repent. The world doesn't know any better. And we're to be our light and shining it and preaching the gospel. Of course, we're not going to be hanging out with them in their sin with the people of the world. We're there to be a light to them and shine it to them. So, and let's see. Then I said, Through time and maturity, as we grow in Christ, he gives us the strength and equips us with what we need to be strong, bold, shining lights in a dark world. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, sisters, we have our marching orders. This right here, 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. Wait, hold on, I think I got that one. I don't think it's both of those verses. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. I was missing one of them on my notes. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sounds like a command to me. No man that worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So here we go. As we go through the scriptures, and there's a lot more, a lot of people would call many of the scriptures that we have cutting, hard, slicing, and those are good because that's what's going to make us stronger. So basically, you know, what I was trying to help this young believer and any new sister that's coming along and sees this big, unsurmountable hill of things that they have to do, and people they might have to leave, associations that are going to have to be cut, things that are going to have to hurt, many, many changes in their life. You know, I empathize to a point, but then I always like to put in there the blood of Christ that was shed for us, and all the rest of that means nothing. So it's like, get up, get going. A sister just brought up this phrase that I use. I haven't used it for a while, but it's something that really got me going in the beginning, was like, bring it on. Let's go. We got things to do. So basically what this was all about was we gave love and kindness and gentleness, and then I had to bring that Hebrews 4 sword, strengthen this young woman and any of these other young sisters, or young, when I say that, is new as a believer, not necessarily age, because we've had to help older sisters be this way too. And that is, let's get up, get going. You know, it's like when we're in battle, if you look around at all the casualties, you're going to be taken out. Satan's going to come and grab you and take you away. You're going to get swept away looking, oh, look at all the death, the destruction. Oh, look at all this, look at all that. Instead of, wow, look what Christ has done. I can plow right through this field of destruction, and I can be a strong soldier for him. So that's basically what I was trying to do, and pepping us all up again, because there's a lot more coming that we need to be strong for. So let's see. And then at the end, I said, let us all encourage each other on. And I'm going to go to it. Hebrews 3:13. I know the sisters I'm in fellowship with are probably smiling and laughing at this one. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I just want to make a little note before I end here. You know, that verse is such a powerful one, because we get people who come and they're like dabble, 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 a little bit here, a little bit there, and they don't have the one another daily. It doesn't hold them accountable. It doesn't bring them any strength. Basically, people like that just come and they just take what they want, when they want it, and disappear. They're not giving. It says, exhort one another daily. It means we all do it to each other. It doesn't mean that we all do as much every day or the same thing every day, even little bits, because all of us have a different life. Brother James and I, we pour out as much as we can on the streets, on the internet, in fellowship, because that's what our life is. Some sisters have people to take care of so they can do smaller pieces here and there, but they do it every day, what they can. Some have more time than others. They do what they can every day. You know, it's just doing faithfully what we've been giving, what we can give to each other every day. Because even that little bit that one person can give, if that's all, kind of like the widow's mite, she gave everything she had and it was a small pittance compared to what the Pharisees were going to do. They gave a little bit out of the lot that they had. So God holds us accountable for the time that we have and what we do with it, and if we love the brethren. And so we want to exhort one another daily, and with using the time wisely, or redeeming the time, shining our light. There's many, many things that we all should be doing every day, and it's up to each one of us how we can allot our time to do that. Not doing it all in one area, but kind of spreading it out and just doing what we can. So anyway, hopefully that was kind of encouraging. I just use that kind of like a basis to help encourage us all, once again, to be strong, and that God gives us everything we need to be able to do everything He wants us to do. So I'm going to let you go now, sisters. Hope you have a joyous day in the Lord. May God be praised.